Hello, ambitious authors. Welcome to another episode. If you're watching this via live in our Facebook group, welcome. Or if you're listening via the podcast, welcome to Writer in the Making. So if you want the video option for this and you're listening, then you'll need to join our group, Ambitious Authors and Writers. But if you are here watching via live, welcome. Hope you all had a great weekend. And I wanted to come on because if you attended our latest big live event, Overcoming Procrastination, first and foremost, thank you all so much. I hope that that was inspiring and motivating. I hope that you were encouraged. But if you weren't able to, just know that the replay is available inside of the group. So again, if you're listening via podcast, then you're going to need to join Ambitious Authors and Writers to get that replay. But in the meantime, I wanted to come on here and talk about the topic that came in second place. Remember, we did the poll. If you didn't get a chance to vote, that's completely fine. But just know that I do poll the group every now and then to see where you all are at. And I want to be able to see in terms of the things that are coming up for you when it comes to the challenges with time management. So if you were here live in the group, go ahead and say hi in the comments, or if you're watching this on the replay, just put hashtag replay and let me know where your biggest takeaway is. But let's jump right into it. We're talking about writing with confidence, and this is all about overcoming self-doubt and imposter syndrome. And while I did think about listing out tips, I really just wanted to share with you all my experience. Sometimes I think that that's the best way in some cases. Now, yes, there are times where, you know, tips are appropriate, like I did in our previous live stream together. But I also want you to know that as a writer, I totally get it. So if any of this resonates with you and you're here live in the group, just give me a thumbs up in the chat. Or if you're listening via podcast, just let me know what you think of this episode. There's a way for you to do that on Spotify. But writing with confidence, just to share a little bit of my story for those of you that don't know, I started writing when I was a teenager, so maybe around 2003, 2004, one of those years, and I really just kept it to myself. It was something that I did as a hobby. I wrote in a loose leaf notebook. My first story was written in about, I think the notebook was about 70 pages, and I wrote front to back in the notebook, and I think that probably ended up, in total, I think the story was 70 pages, writing back to back, using both sides of the paper. And I remember just spending hours and hours sometimes, of course, in between going to school and in between sports and family, I would mostly be in my room writing. And again, just something that I kept to myself, something that I saw as a hobby. I am a natural introvert, believe it or not. It's a miracle that I'm even doing this. But that was my way at that time to get my feelings out. That was a way for me to express myself. And again, just coming into my own, I didn't realize it at the time, but it was definitely something that I believe that God gave me during those years where I was like, okay, what do I want to do? You know, again, being a teenager in that phase of life, you know, I'm sure if some of you can remember that. But it wasn't until maybe it's about 10 years later that I first considered self-publishing. And at that time, you know, compared to how it is now, self-publishing, especially with ebooks, was definitely kind of still in the early stages from what I remember, because I started off with Smashwords. And if you're familiar with Smashwords, if you are associated with them, if you work with them, they now have joined forces with Draft to Digital. But back then, Smashwords was still its own separate entity. And I remember considering it. I think I even considered BookBaby at one time. So there were a few options back then, but I decided to go the self-published route. Why? Not that I didn't consider querying, because I have queried before. I did query a couple of my manuscripts, but I decided to go the self-published route. But even before then, I wasn't too sure if anybody was going to like my work. So I definitely know what that feels like to feel self-conscious. And you're like, oh man, I put everything that I have into this story. And I don't know about you. You can give me a thumbs up in the chat, or you can let me know in the reply section for the episode for the podcast. But writing is very vulnerable. And if you are like me, you put everything that you have into that book, right? You know, it's something that inspires you. It's something that you love. Maybe it's a story that's personal to you. A lot of authors, even if they write fiction, they may take a personal story and it'll inspire them to write a full-blown fictional story. So sometimes I do that. Yes, I do like to come up with stories off the cuff. But if there is a certain scenario that has happened to me personally, or it's happened to my family or a loved one, that may be my inspiration. And I'll take a story and I'll spin off of that. One story in particular that I did in that context was Christmas Therapy. That's one of my sweet romance novels, and I love Christmas. So I wrote the story around the Christmas holiday. And my leading lady has an injury where she messes up her knee. I believe it's been a long time since I've read my own story, but I believe she injured her knee. And over the course of her getting physical therapy and getting back up to par, she falls for her physical therapist. And of course, the tension that happens between him and her, the conflict. So that story was inspired by my personal journey. I did suffer a knee injury a few years ago. No, I didn't fall in love with my physical therapist. My husband's not a physical therapist. But at the time, I thought this would make a nice story, and I called it Christmas Therapy. But even with that, before I self-published for the first time in 2013, it was my What If Christmas Wish. That was something that was very, very vulnerable. It was very scary at the time because, again, you wonder, are people going to like it? Are they not? And some authors don't care about that. Some authors are like, look, if they like it, cool, whatever. If not, no skin off. You know, I don't care about that type of stuff, right? But there are some authors that still deal with that. Again, that self-doubt, that imposter syndrome. Can I really do this? And I just want to say that I understand both sides. I have gotten to a point to where now I'm like, okay, if nobody likes what I wrote, then I didn't write it for them. And I pretty much stay away from book reviews. I may see some here and there, but the 1 stars and 2 stars. Now, again, I'm all for constructive feedback. That's why I have writing partners. That's why I work with editors, because you don't get it right on the first try, you know? So if you're holding yourself back, we talked about this, so I'm going to reiterate it here in this live stream. If you're holding back on your writing because you're a perfectionist and you want to be perfect the first time, that's not going to happen. There is a reason why we have professionals out here that you can work with, and you can work with an editor, or you can exchange pages with a fellow writer. You can do what is necessary to polish your work. But for me, back in 2013, I wasn't as familiar with that as I am now. I was still new to the book industry. And for a time, I was more on the creative side. I really didn't embrace the full side of writing as a business until later. So here I am writing this book and I put it out there and it's like, okay, now what? Now I have more knowledge as, okay, this is what it entails to promote this book, to get it out there, to build an audience, to build a readership, a newsletter. So I have some knowledge under my belt as opposed to back then. But before I self-published, there was a lot of reservations. There was some hesitation, but I got some encouragement from my family, particularly my father. And I remember him telling me, you know what? I think if you give this your all, you will be successful at it. And him saying that just stuck with me. And I know not all authors are fortunate to have the support of loved ones. If you do, great. But some, your loved ones may be like, you know, can you make money at this? You know, can you really succeed in this? Who's going to read this? Are you sure about that? And every author has their own journey. Some authors, we may see their stories and we think it was an overnight success. And other authors are just trying to get there, right? So every journey is different. But if you have a dream to write a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I'm encouraging you to go for it. You're like, well, what if this and what if that? You're never going to know until you put it out there. That's why I finally came to that conclusion. I came to that conclusion that, yes, I have reservations. Yes, I'm not too sure, but I'm never going to fully know until I put it out there. So when I self-published for the first time in 2013, and I remember Goodreads, you know, again, different back then than it is now. But I remember it being on Goodreads, and there were some that gave it some negative reviews, but overall it was a positive response. And that was the first time that I had this mind-blowing experience, like, wow, you know, people like this. It was just a huge revelation for me, like, wow, people like my work. So this is not about trying to please everybody. This is not about you trying to write a book that no one disagrees with, that everybody loves, and they're just raving about it. That is impossible, okay? That is impossible. You are never going to please the 8 billion plus people who are on this planet. That's not what writing is about. Writing is about writing, you know. Honestly, I believe it was the late Toni Morrison that said this. I remember reading this quote, and I believe it was from her. If not, I'll definitely make sure that I get that right. But the quote says, "I write the book that I want to read." And I'm paraphrasing when I say this, but that's basically what the quote says. Writing a book that I would want to read. So technically, yes, I do look at trends. Yes, I do look, you know, at what's popular in the industry. But at the end of the day, I write what I would want to read. Honestly, I write what I would want to read. So if there's something like, you know, I wish there was a story about that, or I wonder this, or I wonder that, then I'm like, why can't you write it? And at the height of the pandemic, after I had been in the business for a few years and I was writing sweet romance, that's predominantly my main genre. But during the height of the pandemic back in 2020, you know, my sisters and I, we were watching a lot of reruns, again, on lockdown. We were watching a lot of reruns of Murder, She Wrote. And I knew of Murder, She Wrote, but I'd never really watched it. And when I tell you, when I watched it for the first time with a full episode, I got hooked. So I was like, you know what? I'm really intrigued with cozy mysteries. And before I knew it, I was like, why can't I write a cozy mystery? So before I knew it, I went to the drawing board. I did a lot of studying because, you know, when you're writing romance, the romance is the focal point in the book. But when you're writing a genre like cozy mysteries, the mystery is the focal point of the book. You can have a subplot of romance. So I had to learn how to flip things, you know? So in that case, I did my due diligence and I studied. I started reading cozy mysteries, a lot of them, and I began to do my own research. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to write a cozy mystery. But all of that stemmed from me asking the question, you know, or answering the question rather, I'll never know unless I try. So if you've been holding back, I say all that to say this, if you've been holding back with your writing due to self-doubt, if you've been holding back due to imposter syndrome, is there lack of confidence? Maybe it is fear. I do remember having a back and forth with a writer in my emails a while back who was talking about, you know, she loves writing, she has all these stories, but fear just keeps holding her back. And she mainly wants to write in the Christian fiction genre. And I'm like, you're never going to know. There's someone out there who could very well be impacted by your work. And as a fellow Christian, like, you never know how God will use this book to again bring peace. I love when my readers respond to my emails and like, oh my gosh, I love this story. Your stories make me happy. I love reading this book with my teenage daughters, or I'm so proud of your work. Like, I've never even met these people in person, but over the years I have gained a following. And they are impacted by my work. So when I'm tempted to hold back, when I'm tempted to procrastinate, when I'm tempted to doubt myself, even now, I still go through it. There's no foolproof method as to, okay, I've arrived and nothing else bothers me. Even the best sellers, okay, even the best sellers to a certain degree, they may not always share it, but I guarantee that even the best sellers that we know and love, they still have those doubts. But what do? They keep moving forward. They keep getting better at their craft. So don't hold yourself back thinking that this is not going to work. How do you know? And even if you write something that doesn't do well at first, that doesn't mean that you can't improve. That's what writing courses are for. That's what, you know, there's so many resources out here that you can use to get better at your craft. And if you're like me, you're like, hey, my writing is worth it. I want to get better. I want to invest. Even if I have to do a little bit at a time, I'm going to get better at this because this is something that is important to me. This is a dream of mine. And I remember, even though I had the skill to write, I'm like, you know what? Let me see how I can get better at this. So I started attending writing conferences. A lot of them were free at the time. And there were some that I also invested in because I'm thinking, hey, this is my business. And in a business, you got to invest in it. So I invested in it and I took writing courses. I remember taking one particular course that helped me in the romance genre. And I remember going through that course and the instructor just broke everything down. I'm like, okay, so this is kind of like a formula. So it connected with me. So you never know what could happen once you put your work out there. And again, does that mean it's easy? No. Does that mean that it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows? No. like any business, writing is a business. It is a journey. There are going to be ups and downs. But do you really want to look back 5 years from now or even a year from now? Let's say by the end of 2024, depending on the time you're watching or listening to this. By the end of 2024, do you really want to be in the same place that you were back in 2023 or 2022? Let's take even further back than that. Are you in the same place that you were with your writing? I don't know, let's say 2015. I can honestly say that I'm not. Even if it's been a little bit of progress, I'm still further along than I was this time last year. And you can be too. So I hope that this is the pep talk that you needed. And I just wanted to share my story because, yes, I can list points and strategies, but sometimes we just need to hear it from someone else and be like, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. Because I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for your writing. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening. That's why you're tuning in, because you realize, okay, I can do this. Deep down, you may not always believe it. And again, this is not about having perfect days where you never feel insecure again about your writing, but I want you to know that it is possible. It is possible. And if you feel like you're not at a level that you should be at, if you feel like you're not at a level that you should be, you can get better. Practice. I know they say practice makes perfect, but again, there's no such thing as a perfect book. Honestly, because even if we think one book is perfect, someone else could pick it apart and say, this is wrong with it and this is wrong with it. But I will say that practice makes permanent. If you keep practicing, if you keep working at your craft, you're going to get better and better to where you master. I believe you can master something to where you work with excellence, meaning you're doing your best and it's top notch to the point to where like, okay, I can put this out there. So again, not about perfection where there are no flaws, but getting to a point to where you're doing it with excellence and you know that you're doing your best and realizing there's always room for improvement, even if you have to go back to the drawing board in a sense and learn something, that is completely fine. So don't let self-doubt hold you back. Don't let a lack of confidence hold you back. Don't let imposter syndrome hold you back, because you are just as unique as your thumbprint and no one can tell a story like you. No one. I can tell a story one way, but how you convey it is going to be totally different and people are going to have a completely different experience. So are you really doing your readers justice by holding back? And you may be like, well, I don't have a readership yet. I don't have a following yet. Well, you won't know until you put something out there. I guarantee you there is a reader waiting for someone like you. There is a reader out there waiting for someone like you, waiting for a book like yours. And you're never going to know until you put it out there. So I'm all about helping authors succeed, and especially a lot of authors feel like they can't because one of the biggest culprits that holds them back, not just fear and procrastination or imposter syndrome, but time. A lot of authors feel strapped thinking, you know what, I wish I had time to do this. And then because it's been so long, like, you know what, maybe I should need to wait until next month or later on this year. And I'm all about helping authors in the area of time management, writing consistency, and productivity. But there is a section in the course, No Time Writer, that I teach where we do talk about writer's anxiety. We do deal with imposter syndrome. We do deal with the things that come up because, yes, writing is a skill, but a lot of what we as authors go through is in our head. So there is a part of the course that I deal with to help power through that. Again, not foolproof to where you're never bothered with it again, but I do help authors in that regard. So I want to go ahead and share this link in the chat if you have not yet had the opportunity. Let me see here. There we go. I want to share this. This is more info for you to learn more about No Time Writer. You can also go ahead and apply to book a video call. So the whole point of the video call is for you to get clarity. And the whole point of getting clarity, because maybe you've watched a few of my lives, maybe you've seen a post or two, maybe you've been in the group for a while, or maybe you've been following me for a while, podcasts, however you got here, right? However you got here, maybe you're thinking, okay, what's the point of getting on a video call? Well, one, it helps me learn more about you and your writing. And you can tell me the challenges that you're facing when it comes to time management. What tends to be the main thing that holds you back? You also can further share with me of why you think that's happening. Why do you think time is slipping away from you? Why do things feel chaotic? Or why do things feel like, you know, I just can't seem to be consistent? You can tell me more about that. And I would love to hear your short-term and long-term goals. Where do you want to be with your writing in 3 months? How about 6 months? Right? So this gives me an opportunity to not only, again, get to know you, but also your writing goals, what you're aspiring to do, and how you would like to accomplish that. And then finally, we can talk about moving forward to help you get more consistent with your writing, take your time back, and then I can show you the details about No Time Writer and how it can help get you there. So if that is something that you are looking for, then you definitely want to go ahead apply and book a video call. So who is this for? If you are driven, if you are committed, you're done with the status quo, you are goal, action, and result oriented, you're a visionary, because your book is not just another book to you, right? Like, this is a book that will definitely be the start of hopefully leaving a book legacy. Like, think of the classics that we know and love and how they have, and how those authors left a legacy in the earth that we're still cherishing today. I think of C.S. Lewis, you know, and the books on Narnia. Like, I grew up reading those books. I remember, I think the first one I read was maybe The Horse and His Boy. And then I went and read The Magician's Nephew. I read The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. So I remember that. And those books definitely impacted me. I loved them. I wasn't really a fantasy girl at the time, but I got into it because of C.S. Lewis. So if he hadn't written those books years before my time, right, what impact would that have had on me? Because I did not like reading as a kid. I did not. And then another author, I can never remember her name, Lois Gladys Peppard. I'm hoping that that's it, but she wrote the Mandy series, and Mandy was like, you know, cozy mysteries, but with kids. So I love those books. So again, if these authors hadn't had the courage to write it and put it out there, where would that leave me growing up and hating reading as a kid? But those authors sparked something in me, and now here I am, an author today. So you're a visionary. You're eager to learn. And then finally, you're financially prepared, meaning you're willing to invest in yourself. You see yourself is worth it. You see your writing is worth it. And again, you are looking to make a difference in what you're doing now with your writing process. And this course is really all about coming into your own. So I want you to envision the future, okay? I want you to envision, maybe you want to build a book series. Maybe you want to grow your author platform. Think about what you want. Maybe you want to effectively engage in marketing and your book promotion. Maybe you can't wait to put your book out there and maybe collab with other authors. I just did one for my Cozy Mysteries, and I partnered with who knows how many authors for a Cozy Mystery book blast. So that's possible for you, but you need to have a book in order to do that. But visualize networking with other authors. I don't see myself in competition with other authors, because there's plenty of readers out there for all of us. And some may be more popular than others, yes. But at the same time, I'm rooting for them. I want them to succeed, and I'm glad I have them in my circle because they're cheering me on as well. Maybe you want to celebrate your achievements. Maybe think about something that you would want to reward yourself with once you finish this first draft. Maybe you want to take a vacation. Maybe you want to treat yourself to a movie. Whatever that is, think about it. How are you going to celebrate once you finish this first draft? Maybe you like holding your book in your hands. For me, that never gets old. I absolutely love holding my book in my hands. This also increases your chances of sales and profits. Once your book is out there, again, marketing is a whole different conversation. That's not my specialty. But at the same time, when a book is out there, it does increase your chances for sales and profits because you have something, as opposed to, well, it's not finished, I have to do this. We're talking about getting you closer to the finish line. And as I said before in previous lives, when you finish your work, it makes you that much more dependable. It makes you that dependable. You're taken seriously. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a finisher. Yes, we're writers. Yes, we're authors. But this is also about finishing. Finishing, being dependable, to where people know, like, yeah, they know their stuff. They get it out to their readers. So, and finally, making your book, making a mark in the literary world. Again, leaving your book legacy. You never know how your work, whether fiction or nonfiction, is going to impact people. So don't hold yourself back. Can we control what people think about us? No, that's out of our power. Only you can control your words, your thoughts, your actions. So I say go for it. Believe in yourself. So if you need support, accountability, and encouragement in this area of time management, I'm here for it, and I would love to help and support you in this. So the link is in the chat for you to go ahead to apply and book a video call with me for No Time Writer. And I would absolutely love to answer any questions that you may have. And again, if it's a great fit, awesome. I absolutely would love working with you. And if not, that is fine too. You're more than welcome to stay in the community. So with that being said, thank you all so much for spending this time with me, whether via live or on the podcast. And as always, if you wrote a book, it is already unique because you wrote it and no one can write a book like you. So God bless. Stay safe. Thank you all so much for spending this time with me. I will see you all next time. Have a good one. Bye, everyone.